Good morning. This is the Eager Beaver Show.
You are listening to a True North Eager Beaver Media Incorporated podcast. The True North Eager Beaver podcasts are proudly brought to you by our founding sponsors, the Misfit Mysteries from Corvid Moon Publishing, your source for science fiction, fantasy, and cozy mysteries featuring a broad diversity of characters, CanadianTarot.com, your uniquely Canadian online eclectic tarot community, and The Pepper Master, hot pepper sauces made from farm-fresh ingredients to thrill your taste buds and expand your mind. Well, good morning and hello, kids, and welcome to season 3 and episode number 363 of the Daily Beaver Morning Show here on the Crier Media Network. Yeah.
Well, that was different.
All right, I'll do it. The Crier Media Network. Today, recording day is Thursday, April 18th, 2024. And it is a rainy day. Definitely a rainy day. April showers will bring me out flowers. It's been pretty rainy the last week. And normally that makes me, well, I don't really get any seasonal affective disorder or that type of thing. But it's every now and then you just want some sun. And right now, I'm actually quite okay with it, given the water table. So it's just like, bring it on. Steady doses, no big flood drops or something like that, or cloud, just a little bit every day. And for those who remember, last year, or last fall, I had planted some croci bulbs on the front lawn. And then about 2 days later, I saw like holes all over the place where squirrels. And I thought, look, they're not going to have any more. Well, so far, more than half have popped up so far. Hey, seems I did good. A big thank you goes to our podcast founding sponsors, The Pepper Master, The Misfit Mysteries from Corvid Moon Publishing, and CanadianTarot.com. As you can hear, with me as always is my good friend, Mr. Grizzly. And sir, how's your mental health today?
I think it's pretty good. I was at the memorial, the celebration.
Yes. Well, we should tell people actually first because they don't know. But recently, there's someone on the online community in Twitter went by the handle Scribulatora on Shitter or Zitter or Twitter, whatever he's calling it. Her real name was Catherine. She was a delightful soul, very well informed, cared a lot about politics. When we say democracy is something that you do, she was engaged. She did not believe it was a spectator sport. She believed in temperance. Her comments were always, had a tone that was calm and not prone to fly off the handle or go into hyperbole. Just one of those accounts that tempered. And when you could always rely on the quality and on the content. And even though Scribulatora and I, or Catherine and I, had never met in person, there's a lot of what she has written over the years, because the show, we're closing our third year, but it was a blog for a while. There's a lot of what she has said that either influenced or found a way a bit, or a piece or chunk, and a lot that I've done throughout the years. So basically, I've stolen and have been inspired from her a lot. Yesterday, there was a gentleman named Bruce Fanjoy, and his name might be familiar to you because he is running in the Carleton electoral district to unseat Yapadiev. He's been very visible and very active in terms of going on, knocking on doors like for over a year now, maybe close to two, to start making the case. And I'm guessing that they did know each other and inspire each other. And he held a sort of get together at a pub last night in order to honor her. And Mr. Grizzly, you went, so I will allow you to take it from there.
Yeah, I was able to attend because it's literally just up the street from me. It's a bit of a walk, but not a big deal. It's a pub I've been to countless times over the last 30 years, 30 some odd years, I think, since it opened. So I walked in and there was a retirement party going on in the front, and they said, oh yeah, the memorial's in the back section by the stage. So I walked over, and sure enough, and there was Bruce. I met Bruce right away and had a nice chat with him and a group of other people who were there. I'm not name dropping because I don't want to do that, but it's somebody who I've been familiar with. I'll say, how you doing? I've seen her and her partner and her daughter at the Lieutenant's Pump countless times for dinner. And I was, hey, how's it going? Because you see somebody familiar in the neighborhood. But we never actually chatted until last night. And I walked in, I go, I introduced myself. And I go, wait a minute, I know you. And she goes, I know you from the pump. So we had a nice chat. And let's just say I had a chat with Bruce about coming on the show at some point. And he says, look, I said, no pressure, no rush. If you want to come in sometime, by all means, please do. I understand you're very busy right now. I get it. We're not offended. Not in the least, but the invitation is open. I extended the invitation to James as well, and had a chance to have a nice chat with James. I said, and
oh, good.
If you want to join us someday for a podcast,
I like him.
It'd be wonderful if you could join us sometime. He says, I might do that.
For those listening at home, again, James is a handle at @dread_Tory on Shitter. Again, sorry, Mr. Grizzly.
We had a lovely chat. There were some just wonderful people there who were really saying how much they were influenced by Scribbia Tora, myself included, talking about how one of the things I learned from reading her writing, and you helped me with this as well, too, was to curb my wanton desire to fly off the handle and drop expletives at people who are being arseholes. Try and come at them with a tempered, level-headed, communicative stance so that maybe you can get them to talk with you. She was really good at that.
Me
less, but I did work in construction for 29 years, so you have to understand old habits die hard, and when you're used to dealing with people who can be rather knuckle-dragging Neanderthalic, and I'm not saying that's what the construction world is like, I'm not saying that. I worked in it, but you will encounter people like that. You'll encounter people like that everywhere, in every profession,
right.
Period.
Trust me, you will.
You will, but I still have this tendency to fly into defensive mode and get ready. I'm a goaltender. I was a defenseman. That's my stance. You get picked on a lot when you're a child. You get into this mode and you stay there. So as I'm trying to be less abrasive in my defensiveness, I'm trying to temper it with inviting conversation, which is what the whole ASMR channel is about.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I had said to James and Bruce was that, the crowd was that I learned to temper my temper, to bring it down, to dial it back, to think. And James said sometimes she would write something and read it and then delete. And that's often good. Write that angry email, don't send it. Read it, sit on it for a bit, think about it, and then come back and go, oh yeah, that was a lot of anger. Let's just dispense with the anger and come back at it with a level-headed thought process, which is not, like I said, it's not always easy to do, especially when you worked in an abrasive environment. And abrasive by the fact that when you work in construction sites, you're hearing, and I'm not even referring to the people, it's constant noise, constant hammering, constant nailing, drilling, the sound of skyjacks backing up constantly. It's just it's a chaotic environment, and it's a dangerous one. So you're always ready to go. So I'm trying to curb myself of that. My current line of work helps that greatly because I get to deal directly with wonderful people who want to be wonderful to me. I guess I went on a bit of a diatribe tangent there, but what I'm trying to say is Scribbia Tora's writing has helped me tremendously. It's also taught me an awful lot about the political system in this country. And everyone that was there basically had very similar things to say. Her writing was so brilliant, so insightful, so tempered, and so dead on accurate.
And it's not like she couldn't have an edge.
Oh, no. She chose not to. Yeah, it was a tempered edge.
Yes. Like, I have a tweet from her at one point when we were talking about the conservatives opposing the free trade deal with Ukraine. And it's like, imagine the lack of self-awareness and outright arrogance in thinking that another sovereign nation that has accepted climate change requires an opposition party in another country to, quote, fight the carbon language on their behalf. That is the weakest sauce imaginable. So yes. She had an edge.
Oh, yeah.
She could throw down.
Oh, yes.
But not one swear word, not one insult.
Nope.
Not one punch down. Just like, I see you. I see it. Mm-hmm. I call it. And that was the thing about her. She was great. I don't know this for myself, but is James Catherine's husband?
No, they were partners.
Partners?
Not, okay. They weren't married.
Okay. Partners. He announced it to us by saying, Catherine passed away earlier this week after a brief battle with cancer, surrounded by those who loved her. I know she touched many on this platform over the years. To them, this news will come as a dreadful blow. It's a loss beyond calculation. It scarcely seems real. Yeats once wrote, quote, in dreams begin responsibility. Catherine kept the sign in a place where she would see it immediately upon waking each day. In word and deed, Catherine admirably discharged her responsibility to help foster a society where integrity and compassion prevail, relations of reciprocal obligation are nurtured, and love is acknowledged as the supreme law. That responsibility is also ours. Let us brace ourselves to the task, and let us never capitulate, retreat, or flinch. Let's not make Catherine have to come back and kick our asses. And I'm glad he said that, because she will, and she will find you, and she will haunt you until you surrender. Yes. If you're on Twitter, keep it cool.
Yeah.
All right?
I've not always done that, and I can't say I'm always going to be cool-headed and level-headed in the future.
There's a time and place to not be.
And that's true. There is a time and place to not be. That is absolutely true. There are times when you need to get your hackles up, right?
But they are not every day, every week.
No.
Right? No. It's like they come up. I've had one.
Mm-hmm.
One.
I've had
in the last two, 3 years. And that was the day that guy stepped off his porch and said the F word at us.
And it didn't end in UCK.
Yes. Yes, it was not an invitation to a good time. Let's put it that way. And this is a beautiful thing here that's going on online for some people that were there or people that were not there at some point yesterday. A lot of people were putting a tribute of a glass, and this one was my favorite because here's the Scribula Torah and a little doggy treat for Molly, who was one of her loves, and because pets are family, and had crossed the Rainbow Bridge before she did. Hopefully Molly is having a wonderful time playing fetch or something, or getting some good squitches wherever they both are right now. Thank you. And just to put a point on it, because James is her partner, James is equally that kind of an influence.
Personally, last night for his writing, I said how eloquent he writes.
I would say that they were probably a match made on earth and in heaven.
Agreed.
I could see the connection of the minds there. These are two people that were probably not only in love with each other, but in love with each other's minds.
I would think so. Who are we to say? Well, I don't know. You just look at
I don't know them well enough, but I can just tell. It's like you can't get two people who write like that have this calm disposition. Can't say that this is. I cannot imagine a reality in which that would not have been a mutual adoration society.
Agreed.
I just can't. To put a point on that, when I first heard of her passing, and when I saw the tributes coming in, my first thought was, oh no, no. But she had been battling cancer, and she was open about it.
I didn't
but
know
when I saw that. But when I saw the all the tributes, my might be a little selfish to think that, but one of my first thoughts was, wow. Because online sometimes can seem impersonal.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, I have my online friends. Well, those are not really friends you never met in real life. Some online friends actually are. You'd be really surprised. There's a lot of people that says, I've never met her, and so I can't believe I'm so affected. But yeah, there are people. So you never know the way you play a role in people's lives. And never occurred to me that just being online, you know, often not even showing your face on Twitter over a period of time, that you could be someone who plays such a role in someone's life. And now that I know it's possible, the first thought that came to me is, gee, when my time comes, I hope that the people that I've met and that I know from online only, I can only hope and wish that they think as highly of me as they think of her. Okay. I can't even say not the start I think was going to get, because yes, I knew we wanted to talk about that to open, but I'm actually a little, not so much sometimes when you get to that energy right here in the sort of sternum solar plexus, that's you're vibrating a little bit when something means something to you, and got a little bit of that going on there. So that's, if you see me go a couple of times, that's me trying to get some of that energy out. All right, moving on. Okay. So we had the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of things happened, but one of the things that happened is yesterday was the day that the whole social media went, oh, but won't someone please think of the 0.13%?
Pretty much.
I don't know if this is a thing, but yesterday I spotted a whole bunch of accounts that had CFP in their handle. I'm guessing that's for Certified Financial Planner. And I don't know if there's something that says blue check mark plus CFP in your handle equals arsehole, but I encountered three of them, and it was 3 for 3, batting 1,000 on, okay, you tell me that I'm missing the point on this capital gains inclusion about how it's so unfair. Because it's like, oh my God, the rich people really took a big hit. So you didn't take a hit. You were slightly tickled with a feather. No, it's a big hit. No, a big hit would have been 75, 80% inclusion rate, plus a wealth tax, plus a tax on corporate excess profits.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a hit. You got tickled by a mild feather. 300,000 of the largest trusts and companies are getting affected by that. People go like, well, what about the doctor that makes $250,000 a year? Well, if you're a doctor and all you make is $250,000 a year, you don't have another source of income, and all that $250,000 is considered capital gains, let's just say, at most, because I'm not sure if it's like $250,000 and up or $249,999 and lower. At worst, you're affected on one whole dollar.
Yeah. It's literally above that threshold.
So 300,000 of the largest corporations and trusts and 40,000 of the richest Canadians reporting an average income of $1.4 million a year. If neither of these are, you are not affected. At all. And your principal residence is not affected at all. So you have all these people, and here's the thing, also on the media, like all this breathless coverage about, oh my God, investment. And it's like, it was one thing in the budget that affects 0.13%, and they're giving it media attention. If you sell your house tomorrow, you are screwed.
That's not what's happening. Yeah. The amount of mis and disinformation and outright lies I'm reading online, it's just disturbing.
But the amount of coverage this is getting, as opposed, oh my God. So, and here's the thing. They raised one tax.
One
tax. And it's like, it's the only taxation to the negative in terms of money coming in and out of your pocket in the budget at all. There's no wealth tax on high earners. There are actually taxation changes for the better. For example, there's a lifetime exemption for selling a firm, fishing enterprise, or a small business. So those are exemptions. Mm-hmm. There's an entrepreneur tax credit to encourage startups.
Oh, looks like I don't know what happened there.
Oops, sorry. There's an entrepreneur tax credit to encourage startups and scale-ups to grow their business. There's the small and medium businesses, about 600,000 of them. They probably wouldn't be affected by this, but that are going to get a part of that are going to get a carbon rebate now. So it's not, they raised taxes on you again. It's not on you, number one.
Yes. So let's address the people leaving Canada, shall we?
You need to calm down. Yes, exactly. And then you got all these people goes right away. So, oh my God, it's like, how many people are getting ready to sell their house before the June 25th deadline or whatever it is? Don't do that.
Yes, everybody's going to sell their house at the same time. Who's going to buy them? Corporations. We'll have 4 landlords in the country.
Yeah.
Welcome to the feudal system.
I know. I'm selling my house now. Well, great. The plan's working already. More housing available.
Yeah.
Thank you, Trudeau. Oh my God, I can't believe this. I'm going to move to another country or I'm going to get my taxes treated better. Really? Because last I saw you were a chiropractor. Don't know. Do, if you see anybody saying, hey, or is trying to pitch you, hey, you want to sell your house before the deadline so you don't have it, don't do it. We usually don't give financial advice on the show, but this one, don't do it. It's a trap.
Well, I guess yesterday in House of Commons during question period, Poilievre just came out and flat out said, we will cut the rent.
How?
Yeah. How are you going to do that?
Yeah, he's just saying, he's just, I don't even want to talk about him other than the little bit, then we absolutely have to if we're going to show some reaction. Now, how would I put it? Okay, so we have Mr. Amit Singh. Because the next question usually, while everybody's crying, while all the rich people are crying themselves out that they're going to have to pay a little more, well, they're very sensitive souls, the rich people. They're very misunderstood. It's hard. It's really hard having so much money and thinking about all the ways to make sure that even though you have too much, someone doesn't get a cent of it. That you don't do anything now. And here's the other, we're going to take all our money and go elsewhere. It's like, no, they're not. No, they're not. Canada is a country that's safe. It is stable. It is secure. It is free. Corporations that come here, unlike the United States, don't necessarily have to cover healthcare. You get access to one of the healthiest and most educated workforces in the entire world. You do not have to hire tons of security to keep your thing, your plant or whatever, safe because someone from the community who is starving is going to come and try to burn it up. You got a good thing here. You get a lot.
I know American
for your taxes.
That opens offices here. I'm like, why did they open their head office here? Because guess what? In Canada, we have health care and the company doesn't have to pay for health insurance.
Yes. If you want to bring people in from around the world to come to work, they're happy to come to Canada.
Yeah.
It's like, you, rich people, you get a lot for the taxes you avoid paying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perhaps sip it. Less greedy, more grateful. The greedy part is what got you a bigger inclusion.
What I was
because
saying
you weren't willing
show.
To do it on your own, we had to do it for ourselves.
No, that's what I was saying yesterday in my words of wisdom at the end of yesterday's show. A little heated, maybe a little less tempered and not very polite, but effectively the same thing. You say zip it, I say shut your freaking pie hole. Like really? You know how much money I paid in taxes last year? Yeah, triple what I earned. Shut up.
Take a tip from Mark Twain. It is better to keep your mouth closed and let everybody think you are a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Yes.
Right? Just like, ugh, these people. We had the interesting part of about this budget here is that people are wondering about Mr. Singh, Mr. Jagmeet Singh, because he made a couple of interesting moves prior to the budget being down. It started saying that, well, there was a vote in the House of Commons, let's put it this way, on to whether or not to have the meeting that everybody seems to be asking on the carbon tax and whatnot, the premiers. And it seems that the NDP voted with the Conservatives and said, yes, we should have this meeting. Now, you have to understand, right? The NDP, well, first of all, if you think of environment stuff, we think of the Green Party. But we always stereotypically would think of the NDP as being the party that would be most pro reducing GHGs or pro measures for the environment because they are to the left of the Liberals. And even though environmental conservation traditionally on paper was a conservative issue, now because everything is left versus right, it seemed to be a left thing. Yes. So you would think that it would be the NDP, the traditional conscience of the nation, would say, hey, the nation is burning. Let's maybe do something about that. But it seems that when it comes to the environment, it's been the Liberals that have had the stronger track record. They have the stronger program. Even in the last election, everybody was just like, NDP, what did you do? You just like surrendered the whole environment question to the Liberals. They put out their plans and the NDP plan was just atrocious. It didn't even come close to what the Liberals were putting up. For some reason, the NDP is, I'm not going to say not all on board, but plays some fast and loose every now and then. And I guess Mr. Singh saw this as an opportunity to get some contrast with the Prime Minister by saying, hey, yeah, we should have this meeting. And then I guess he must have gotten an earful. So because said, hey, the meeting, that seemed to be a first flip-flop. And then 2 days later, he came back and said, oh, don't think that just because I asked for the meeting, it doesn't mean that I don't support carbon pricing. The purpose of the meeting from the premiers is to say, hey, you don't let us do it our own way. When the law is expressly written, say, hey, you get first crack at doing it your own way. And if it doesn't meet a standard, then we come in. So Jagmeet Singh, you just asked for a meeting, voted in the House, given the impression PR-wise that maybe you weren't all in on carbon pricing in order to have a meeting to discuss allegedly changing the way we do things to the way we do things. Dude. And then you had to flip-flop 2 days later. Whoa, maybe not. This man is not very smart. I know that you have to try and find some contrast, but my God, you have to pick your moments. You have to pick your moments, and this one wasn't it. This one definitely wasn't it. So Mr. Grizzly stepped away. I'm trying to look for some video of his reaction so that I could play it for you. And so I'll have to wait for Mr. Grizzly to come back for that. Indigenous people and the disabled community are the people who have the most legitimate gripe about what's going on, because the disability benefit was definitely not all, not even close to what people thought it would be, or I'd hoped it would be. And especially with after all of that consultation and all of that delay, and so we have to make sure we get it right and stuff for that to come out. That was my problem. And I do not know why the Liberals did that, because in one way, it's almost like, well, gee, why did you even bother then? If you're going to do it, you're really going to half-ass it that way. And you can't even say half-ass. It's like one-tenth ass it, like you did. And then for the Indigenous community, and I had not noticed that when I read it, when I listened to the budget speech, but even though the word Indigenous appears in the budget document over 400 times, it was not mentioned once in the budget speech. The word Indigenous, nor reconciliation. And there was a big request from the Indigenous community with regard to having a sizable down payment put on the infrastructure deficit within in Indigenous communities. And while there was a little bit for that, it was pretty much a trickle. So these are the two groups that I would have expected having the wall-to-wall, oh my God, isn't this terrible coverage? But yeah, no, instead we had people on Bloomberg saying, hey, I sold my corporation for $500 million. Oh my God. It's like, fuck off.
$500 million.
$500 million I sold my business for, and now I have to pay more. Fuck off.
Yeah. Again, like I said, you spent more and paid more in taxes than I earned last year by multitude. I really don't care. Well, I worked hard for that. Yes, you worked hard for $500 million. Let's get realistic. Anybody who gets that rich, I'm sure you have put hard work in. But I have said to people who have said, well, you know what, this is going to cost me. And I go, oh, right. Do you equate hard work to earnings? Of course. I go, so why am I not a freaking billionaire? They shut up real quick when I hit them with that one.
Hmm.
There, you were saying? No, they clam up real quick. Hard work does not equate to earning or income. It simply doesn't.
There's no relation
None.
No, really? Let's put it this way. If it went on hard work, baseball players would be being paid like teachers, and teachers would be playing, being paid like baseball players.
Exactly. Exactly. Firefighters would be billionaires.
Right.
Soldiers, police officers, first responders. You know how much more money they should be paid for what they do? You're going to tell me that isn't hard work?
Yeah. And as well paid as doctors are?
Yeah.
Surgeons that save your life? Give them a boost, too.
Give them a boost.
You need to calm down.
Well, I saw...
You're being too loud.
I saw a thing online the other day from Mark Cuban, who I follow on Twitter. And somebody said, oh, yeah, well, how much you paying taxes? He goes, I'm sending a check for $288 million tomorrow. They're like, what?
And I'm happy to pay it.
Yeah. He's like, I am happy to pay it. Because that's what you do to live in a country like this, where you have all the opportunities to create what we've created. Mm-hmm. Mark Cuban is a decent human being for a billionaire.
For a billionaire.
Well, come on. Most billionaires are not exactly good people, but Mark Cuban walks the walk and talks the talk.
Yeah, indeed.
He does.
Now, so I wanted to...
Share for me?
Yeah, I don't... Do we have time for it, though? I know you have a hard out in a
minute. Like 5 minutes.
It's about 4 minutes.
Okay, let me just see if I can cue it up here.
All right. We'll show one reaction. It's Mr. Jagmeet Singh speaking. And if you would, kids and cubs, I would like to propose a drinking game.
Boy.
Every time you hear him say the word force or forced or any variation of force, please have a sip.
Well, it better be coffee, because if it's whiskey, you'll be hammered out of your skull in 5 minutes. That's how long this clip is. Here we go. So look at this.
There are some things in this budget that we fought for, that we spent time hearing from Canadians, and we forced this government to deliver. Those include protections for renters. Renters live in constant fear that they're going to get rent evicted or kicked out of their homes because large corporate landlords want to buy those buildings and then evict them. We forced this government to place a renters protection fund, something that we've been calling for over a year. And that's going to help people stay in their homes and keep some of those affordable units affordable. We fought to force this government to bring in some relief for parents and kids, so the kids, when they go to school, can get a nutritious meal with a national school food program. That's going to give some relief to parents. It's going to take one thing off their plate, save them money. We also forced this government to move forward on covering free birth control, free diabetes Christ. Medication, and devices. That's going to save thousands of dollars for millions of Canadians. We forced this government to down the...
Okay, this is ridiculous. You didn't force anybody to do anything. You have a supply and confidence agreement where you work together to make these things happen.
I keep it rolling. All around my fifth shot.
Foster Canadians. That's some relief in a time when Canadians are really feeling squeezed. We forced this government to do that.
Six.
Let's be absolutely clear. This would have never happened but for the fact New Democrats forced the Liberals to
Seven.
Give this relief to Canadians, to give a bit of a break to Canadians. There are some concerns, though. We're concerned about the fact that the Liberals ignored the opportunity to take on corporate greed. We know the major driver that is driving up the cost of living is corporate greed. When it comes to buying groceries and you're paying more than ever before, that's corporate greed. When you're paying some of the highest cell phone and internet fees in the world, that's corporate greed driving up the cost of your cell phone and internet fees. When you look at trying to find a home and speculators keep on driving up the cost of housing and corporate landlords are scooping up all the available housing, that is corporate greed that's making it harder for people to find a home. That is a major problem.
No argument with any of that.
And the Liberals failed to use the opportunity they had to take on corporate greed. But let's also be clear about the Conservatives. The Conservatives want to take this all away from you. They want to take away childcare. They've been open about that. Pierre Poilievre wants to take away childcare. He wants to take away dental care from seniors, even though he's had it for most of his adult life, paid for by taxpayers. He wants to take that away from seniors. He wants to take away PharmaCare from people that need that extra support. He wants to take that away, and he wants to cut further. He wants to cut healthcare. He wants to cut pensions. He wants to cut EI. He is going to make things even worse for Canadians. But there are some concerns we have in this budget as well, and I want to lay out some of those concerns we have. We're concerned about the disability benefit that we fought for being only $200 a month. That is far too little to meet the needs of people living with disabilities. We're concerned that this government has not laid out the plan to address the gap in infrastructure and housing funding for Indigenous communities. That's a serious concern. We're concerned about the loss of 5,000 public sector employees. Serious concern as well. So we've got some serious concerns in this budget. There's things that we fought for, and we're going to continue to use our power as we have throughout this minority government to fight for Canadians to make Ottawa.
Okay, and that is NDP leader Jagmeet.
One note on that, the NDP leader came up to give that scrum 8 minutes into the budget speech being read.
Yeah, so he hasn't even read the whole damn thing yet.
Well, they probably got open lockup and all that kind of stuff and messages caught back and forth and whatever. But yeah, he didn't even have the respect to stay in the house at least till at least maybe 30 minutes or the speech or whatnot. He was the first one out already.
And speaking of out, I have to go right now. So we'll just wrap it up short and sweet. Thanks to everybody for joining today. I really got to get out of here. I'm going to be late and I can't afford to be late. So we'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to cue the cock and then we're going to get out of here. Sorry, I know I'm cutting it real short, but that's how it goes some days. See you later.
You are listening to a True North Eager Beaver Media Incorporated podcast. The True North Eager Beaver podcasts are proudly brought to you by our founding sponsors, the Misfit Mysteries from Corvid Nguyen Publishing, your source for science fiction, fantasy, and cozy mysteries featuring a broad diversity of characters, CanadianTarot.com, their uniquely Canadian online eclectic tarot community, and The Peppermaster, hot pepper sauces made from farm-fresh ingredients to thrill your taste buds and expand your mind. We are grateful to the Crier Media Network for its support, Pete Jarvis for our artwork, and Paul Joseph Something for our opening and closing sequence music.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent, almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many rogues that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga. It's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at averyrich.com.